Three, two, one.
Welcome to the show. The best around, it just depends if I'm in your town.
It's another episode, everybody. Yeah. Episode 12 is finally here. It's another edition of Ruck Talk. Thank you so much for joining. My name is MJ. He is Brendan G. And, you know, we're going to talk about something really cool today. I figured this would be a good one. Giving a good title, actually. Today it's, do you believe in you are what you eat? Do you believe in that? And the reason why I'm asking is because Brendan G here was very curious about my diet, which isn't too crazy, like abnormal, but my diet over the weekend.
I think this guy's actually insane. He might be out of his mind, some may say. This weekend, Michael Johnson over here on the the opposing corner.
He hit me with the government name.
Yeah, we're breaking out the legal identification here just because this is some serious business that you got into this weekend.
Yeah.
You were eating, I don't know why, how you acquired this. I don't even want to.
What do you mean?
A beef heart, correct? And then you ate raw beef liver, and then you had a raw egg. Mike, go ahead and explain yourself. I'm going to flip the camera back to you, and I want you to break down why.
Look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, look at yourself and really think about it, what you've done.
No, I, so I graduated from the 75 hard thing over the weekend, or just shy of the weekend. And, you know, a friend of mine, Alexis, who lives in Dallas, she actually has been doing this program, this discipline program, which started for her on her journey this past summer. I think it was July or August. And she asked if I wanted to join. And I hesitated because the summer heat this past summer, as we all know, was crazy, crazy hot. So I didn't want to be out there catching a heat stroke. So I opted in for the fall, which would be a little bit more cooler. Also a chance to go a little bit more harder. I mean, you want to ease off. You don't want to go like too hard when it's, 105 and the humidity is like 2000, outside. So I said, all right, cool. So I'll jump in on the second round because she's doing the entire year round thing. And, you had to pick a diet. And my diet was kind of simple because I already did the carnivore thing. So we made a deal. She said, if you make it, because I think she was fascinated by the whole carnivore thing that I was doing. She had a lot of questions about it, wanted to join in on that journey of that diet to see what it could do for her. So she made a deal that if we completed it, or if I completed it, she would fly to Atlanta to have an ounce of raw liver with me, right?
An ounce? How big is an ounce? Because, I mean, I'm thinking in weed, but... What is an ounce in meat? What does that look like?
All right. So for you 21 and older people, you've been to a bar, right? And
yeah.
You know, they pour this in a jigger cup, like they pour the liquor and then they pour it into your glass.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine all of that being filled with liver. It'd be an ounce.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't know if that helps.
It does.
Okay.
I just wanted like a size estimate.
So it's like something like, think about it, like it's a shot glass.
A shot of liver.
Yeah, okay. Or like an oyster shell worth or something like
Which
that.
Which was better, do you think, the heart or the liver? And did you eat the heart raw?
No.
Like, I didn't okay. Die. That's very primal if you were to do that.
And yeah, no.
I might look at you a little funny.
I didn't do that. Actually I grilled it because a lot of people said if you grill it, it's very similar to filet or ribeye or whatever. And I was like, all right, now hold on a second. So here's the thing. I actually thought that at one point, you would sear it and it'd be like, medium, just like I do my steaks, like medium well or medium to medium well.
Uh-huh.
So I get it off the grill and it's funny how your mind works. So it's just, at the end of the day, it's just meat, right? It's just animal meat, right? I mean, that's how I look at it. So you wouldn't think of it differently. So I ate it, right? And I think the more I chewed it, the more I said to myself, which is weird because people are going to say, well, you just ate raw liver. What's the difference? But it's different because when I did that, right, and I started to chew it, everybody's calling about it, like, why are you eating raw heart? When I did it and I started to chew it, I started saying to myself in my own head, like, dude, you're eating heart. Dude, you're eating heart. That's kind of gross, right? And it was really chewy. The muscle was really chewy. Like, it was like...
What is the benefit, man? I got to ask you, because there's a reason that you're doing this. There's a reason you're doing it.
Well, it wasn't... Well, I don't know what there's a reason. I don't know... I don't know what the benefit is on a... Well,
so there is no reason.
No, hold on. There is. So I've always heard, and I don't know how true this is, and I don't have any of this, these kinds of issues, but it's, I've always heard, like, if you wanted a healthy heart, as a as a person who mainly had a diet, an animal-based diet, you would eat the organ of the animal to maintain and support your health of your organ, you know, your heart organism.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I've always heard that. I don't know if there's any truth to it. No, I really don't. Seriously. But I've always heard that if you wanted to do that, that you should do that. I think Liver King talks about it too as well.
Yeah, that guy's natural for sure.
Here we go. I mean, he brought it up. He didn't make it up. He brought it up. And I said, yeah, I've heard that before. I don't know how true that is. But I don't have any heart issues.
Well, he definitely looks like he's got some issues. The guy has a hard time sitting there breathing. Yeah, just sitting there, he's like struggling to breathe. Liver King, dude, you ever just see videos of him just sitting at the table? He's like just fucking having a hard time. He reminds me of this bodybuilder.
No. Named
Rich. Yeah.
Maybe he's just hype, bro. Maybe he's just hype.
That man is fucking dying, dude. He does not look healthy.
Dude, you see his abs, bro.
Well, plastic surgery abs. Listen,
I've seen him quite a bit. I used to actually I do follow him. I think I just muted him. Because some of the stuff that he says, there's a lot of truth to it.
Liver King.
And a lot of the tribes that they have visited in Africa, him and some other legitimate doctors that I know of, you know, they all come back and they all speak the same thing as far as like diet was concerned. And what that society and how that society ate. And it was funny because they eat mainly the organs over in Africa, some of the tribes that they visited. And they would always say what we treasure as prime meats here, they would feed to their dogs. Like, you know, we'd say like filet mignon, and they'd be, oh yeah, we give that to our dogs, right? But they would all say the same thing. Now think about it like this. When an animal in the wild, specifically, let's say a lion, a cheetah, I mean, you get the point. When they go after prey, right, the alpha of the pack eats first, right, and always goes after the liver. The reason why is because it contains the most amount of nutrients in the body. Like, seriously. Like, you couldn't even, like...
I'm so fucking scared to try this.
So, when they talk about, you know, vitamins and minerals, I mean, you're talking about anything from vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin, like, B1, B12, B5. It's high in iron. You can even taste... Obviously, you taste that when you eat liver. You know... It's high in folate, so it's high in B9. I mean, it's just a very nutrient dense food, mm-hmm. right? So I started taking liver supplements a while back, and I was like, you know, I really wanted to try to eat it. Didn't really have a reason. So the 75 hard challenge happened. We finished it off. She flew out here. I ordered some organ meats. Didn't like the heart. But And like I said, because it was chewy, and I think it went to my head, like, oh, I'm eating heart, like, it's chewy, and it's like, I just thought about a heart beating in my, I just had a weird, gross thought.
I mean, that's normal. Have you tried tongue before? You've tried a bunch of weird stuff.
Nah, man.
I'm pretty sure you tried tongue. You told me about it.
I didn't try tongue. I lied. Really?
Somebody told me that they tried tongue, and it was like, you're literally, like, kissing somebody. Like, tongue, it just... That did not
wasn't me, bro. Two things I haven't eaten yet. I think I'm going to pass on. Tongue, one, and testicles. I mean, as much as motherfuckers say you need to eat them, it's just...
What the... Who said you need to eat them? What is the benefit of eating testicles?
I mean, you know, you eat the shit that you want your shit to be like.
Dude.
Testosterone, baby.
I can see it, but... I mean, you got to say no homo. You got to say no homo before you do it.
What do you have? What you have for what'd you have for dinner? I had some bull testicles.
Yeah, no homo. I think eating steak, like, you've been doing all right, and you feel a lot better, don't you?
Yeah, I think. So here's the thing, and I think I'm going to explore it a little bit further and see where it goes. The results that I've had from a combination of. Like, seriously, like, simple diet. When I say simple, like, I keep it simple. Simple diet and what else? Exercise. It's been outrageous, you know? I'm interested in exploring more because, like, I really want to know, like, who's lying right now, right? So you hear crazy shit. Like, what I'm doing right now to myself, for myself, I'm trying to experiment with the thought of, all right, the rest of our world tells us to eat like this, right?
Yeah, and it changes every couple of years.
Right.
Eggs are bad, eggs are good.
But, no, not even that. Let's not even go there. Like, let's say, like, there's a certain standard, like the standard American diet that calls for certain things, you know, certain amount of, you need a certain amount of this per day, a certain amount of that per day, is one thing. But how and the sources you get them from is another, which makes the standard American diet so fucked up. Because at the end of the day, you know, a cup of blueberries and a blueberry pound cake or whatever are two different things. You know what I'm saying? But they may, in the ingredients, say they're both equally, boom, they both equally have the right amount of blah, blah, blah for the day, right? And that's bullshit. And that might be a horrible example, but...
No, I think cereals would be a good example of what you're talking about.
Sure, exactly. There you go, right? So at the end of the day, man, like, I'm exploring the what happens when you go against the grain of that. Like, if they say... Because I've tried that their way... It didn't work their way. Like,
you tried the whole plant-based
everything. Like, you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
People don't know that before MJ was a carnivore, he was really into the plant-based.
All the white coats had that shit on me. Like, you need to do this DASH diet. You need to do that. You know. Now there are certain things that you can take from what Western medicine offered, as far as as far as, like, diet's concerned, when it comes to, like, and they don't give you much, but, you know, fruits, I don't do any vegetables. I haven't done that for a long time for this reason, because it did jack me up. Like, I was upside down. Heart skips. I had, all kinds of irritable shit going on. I'm pretty sure it jacked me up psychologically, because hormonally I wasn't sleeping right, and it was just a wreck. And then I started this journey of just eating meat, just the meat. I'm talking about, like, steak. I'd eat steak burgers. I mean, that's pretty much all I eat, you know. And then every now and then, because I'm working out, I'll have some fruit, because, you know, you get the glucose really, really quickly. So, and your muscles need them, you know,
lifting
and all that stuff. So anyway, so my whole thing is, I started and I noticed a big change for me, you know. I mean, those, you know, preventricular contractions, what they're called. They went away. I started feeling better. I just, you know, overall, just more energy. You know, I'd go through the day harder, you know, on this diet. And, yeah, I'd crash early. When I say crash early, I'd be in bed when I'm supposed to be in bed. You know, 10 o'clock, I'd wake up earlier. Not waking up like I can't sleep, like waking up refreshed, ready to go.
I wonder what that feels like. I haven't.
It's
had that.
Good, man.
Oh man, I've been trying to. So I've done the steak thing with you, kind of to a degree. Like I've 75% gone there, and I've eaten steak for like lunch and dinner. Like breakfast, I'll have something different. My sleep patterns are fucked up, and I was thinking about you yesterday, MJ, because something came across my desk, and I was kind of wondering why are they trying to. Now sell plant instead of just like this is plant-based diet, like they're trying to package it and sell it as if it's like meat now with the fake meat and stuff. Yeah. And I saw this video of this company that's coming out with 3D printed steaks, and I want to go ahead and show you this because I was really thinking about you. I'm like, MJ would probably disapprove of this with his carnivore diet. Check this out.
A juicy sizzling steak made by computer.
Look at that. They got three cartridges going, one for the fake blood, one for the fake fat, and then one for the fake muscle.
Okay.
Painting regular meat is a process that's been taking place for millennia. Cow, butcher, beef. Redefine Meat, a meat alternative startup out of Israel, makes their product using a highly technical process.
Look at that. It looks like real steak.
The mix of soy and pea protein, chickpeas, beetroot, nutritional yeast, and coconut fat is formed into steak-like shapes using a 3D printer.
Our goal is to become the largest meat company in the world just by harnessing technology instead of animals.
Meat substitutes are not new, but unlike the soy-based crumbles that mimic ground beef, Redefine Meat's product is designed to act, taste, and cut like flank steak.
This is the holy grail of alternative meat.
But the
this
most
is crazy.
Important part, how does it taste? This diner was happy.
The texture feels right. Even the smell smells like the real thing. Really authentic for me. Revolution.
Are you serious? Now, why would you do that? Why would you want to do that?
Didn't they like have a big deal about the cows and how much CO2 they release or something?
That's horseshit. I read this book during the 75 Hard program talking about like green space, carbon emissions and all that stuff and CO2. And they're like, CO2 gas is bad for the environment. Well, hold on a second. I'm a little confused. And this was brought up in a book that I read, as well as it brought me down the rabbit hole to ask the question. Don't we need carbon dioxide in order for things to thrive? Like, don't we need CO2
For trees.
For trees,
absolutely.
I mean, you talk about... So, hold on a second. So, I'm a little confused. If the Amazon is dying, because I've heard that before, and I'm just giving you a summary. I'm not going into detail, but if the Amazon is dying, right? I mean, don't we want to crank the CO2 up? Aren't they going to give us oxygen? Isn't that how it works?
I feel like mega corporations like producing plastic products produce a lot of CO2 and they just kind of don't talk about that. But they want to talk about me. I'm just wondering what the hidden motive is behind all this. Like, why do you want everyone to switch over to
plant? Make people sick. It's, you know, listen, I'm starting to believe like these elitists, they work hand in hand. It's kind of like you and I, the poorer people, right? We want to help each other. So if I got something, you got something, I got something that can help you make some money while making me some money at the same time, it works, right? And then maybe you give me a kickback because I just created another avenue or another revenue stream for you.
10% for the big guy.
Let me create this, or maybe I'm just a monopoly that just wants to make people sick and kill humanity. But I think these people like make deals with people, man. Like we can come up with something to make people sick.
Do you think that it's the intention of making people sick, or they just want
a conspiracy?
Yeah, I mean, like, do you really think?
You know, I don't know if the intention is really like, well, we want to make people healthy. You're not going to make people healthy with beetroot juice, pea protein, and like that's just not going to work.
I want to try it. I don't want
to
get.
I don't like this. No, I have no desire to do that.
Did you not see them printing the steak?
I have no desire to do that, man. As a matter of fact, I actually have this this fellow that I follow, Dr. Paul Salvadino. He actually talked about it. We all heard about Impossible Burger. It's kind of like the same thing. Not
they
the
got
printed
a bad
meat.
Rap for the last couple of years,
right? But not the printed up. Meat, but it's still a fake. Shit that they're trying to put inside you. You know what I'm saying? Check this out real quick.
First thing I wanted to know was what actually went into the burger.
Me too.
Here, what we have in front of me is all of those natural plant ingredients.
Yeah.
What fat does is it traps good flavor and then is a delivery system. Sunflower oil is a unsaturated fat. So a lot of people say it's the good fats.
Seed oils are the good fats? I would disagree with this here. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that these seed oils, which are in this Impossible Burger, increase oxidized LDL, LPA, LPPLA2, which means they increase your risk of cardiovascular disease. These fats accumulate in cell membranes and essentially lead to the majority of chronic disease in humans over the last 100 years. So things like obesity, diabetes, dementia. I believe this is strongly driven by these seed oils. The narrative has been twisted. I strongly believe that meat is what humans need to thrive, which is full of incredible nutrients that are not found in plant-based burgers. Impossible burgers, not so good for human health.
There you go. Right? So it's like, it's the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing. I mean,
they didn't tell us what ingredients were in there.
They talked about beet juice and all that stuff for color. It's the same thing in Impossible Burger. You know, they're just now, the difference is Impossible Burger is a blob of like, it looks like ground beef. So they make burgers out of it.
You know actually how hard it is to escape seed oil, Mike?
It is. It's in everything.
Even when you want to, you have a steak, right? And you want to put butter on your steak. You have to make triple sure that the butter that you're using is not mixed with margarine.
Margarine, yeah. Or anything, yeah.
It's so hard.
100% unsalted butter from the cow is what you need. That's what we get.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, even to the point where you know, society has gotten to the point where they try to turn you off from using stuff like that. You know what I mean? Not a lot of butter, whatever. There's a, I'll play this next clip, man. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, but... There's a lot of talk about butter, right? From a perspective of whether you should have a lot of it or not. Like some people even straight up, they'll have it as a snack. They'll like go to the fridge.
That makes my stomach churn.
And like peel it like a banana and start eating it, right? And there's a lot of there's a lot of reasoning behind it. There's two clips. The guy that I just played for you, I'm going to play his stuff again. He talks about butter. Paul Sal, I'm a big fan of his because I think this guy is no bullshit. I think he's got his own supplement company and stuff like that, which at the end of the day, everybody got to make their bread. I've supported him. It is what it is. I think he gives a lot of wealthy information to the public at no cost whatsoever. It gives you a chance to at least think and figure out another option, because I think sometimes we think that we don't have any options as we try to be better, get better as far as our health is concerned. And you go down one path and you think that's the only path. And if that doesn't work, then something's wrong with you versus like, well, shit, I'm going to turn around and go back this way. I saw another road down here. Maybe I could cut a left. You know, I think that's what Paul Salvadino and some other people I'm going to introduce you to on this show. I think that's what they do. And that's what I like about it. But listen to what he had to say about butter.
If you like butter, I've got some really good news for you. I recently came across a couple of randomized controlled trials in humans showing that consumption of butter is associated with less inflammation. Check this out. The first study is an 8-week trial in which participants ate about a tablespoon and a half of butter per day. At the end of the trial, researchers saw multiple inflammatory markers decrease. Another 12-week trial compared 39 grams, about 2.5 tablespoons, of conventional Danish butter versus pastured butter, and found that both of these butters lowered HSCRP, a common inflammatory marker, in humans. Butter gets a bad rap because it has saturated fat, but there are multiple meta-analyses and studies showing that the consumption of dairy and markers of dairy consumption are consistently associated with lower rates of cardiovascular disease, and randomized controlled trials like this in humans consistently show decreased inflammation with butter. So don't fear butter. Butter is a health food, and it'll help you thrive.
So at the end of the day, you think to yourself, this dude's crazy.
I swear, if I'm going to try to eat a stick of butter a day, and if I come back fucked up, I'm coming straight to you.
So here are things that happen, right? And here's where you go wrong when you do things like this. And here's what you should expect. Not a doctor, just speaking from experience of things that I went through trying to fine-tune my diet. When you decide to go on these, like, these types of diets, I don't want to call it, they're not fads because they essentially do change people's lives. But when you embark on this journey to find like what food or what it is your body, you know, requires, there's going to be changes in things, right? And you got to pretty much commit. You can't just tiptoe into it, because if you tiptoe into it, you're not going to get the results. I mean, and actually it might even go in reverse, because you might be doing stuff that you know, you're not thinking of or think that you can do. Like when we say carnivore, you start eating meat and you start eating like processed meat and the shit is fucked up. And you know what I'm saying? You just got to do your research on it. So I have always heard that, the same thing, like butter. Are you kidding me? Like I'll spread it on toast and that's as much as I get, right? I'm not taking a stick of it and like putting it in my mouth. But there's been, you know, like he said, study after study after study that says that it does change inflammatory markers. But if you're the one that's doing this, like you're doing that, plus you're doing anything with sugar, you're going to see a change. Like you got to get the sugar part out of it and concentrate on the diet. That's why if you're doing... And this is like truly digging deep and finding out, like, does this shit really work? If you're doing like a stick of butter and you do it for a month, I mean, you're not going to die in a month. You know, I'm talking to you.
Is that a challenge, Mike?
I'm talking to you directly.
You know what I'm thinking? Like, as you're sitting here talking, I'm like thinking back to my childhood, and I literally grew up eating corn on the cob, and you know how to put on that corn on the cob, Mike? But
a lot of butter.
No, Mike. Trick question, Mike.
Margarine.
I can't believe it's not butter. Oh, the spray, there was a fucking that's spray.
Vegetable oil and everything else, yeah.
On top of the corn, so I'm already...
That's why your generation is jacked up. We gave you the
so
fake
tired.
Out. We gave
so
you the
tired.
Fake out.
No testosterone.
No, but seriously, and then...
Latte.
So when you, and then when you think about it, like, that's another thing. Going down that path of things that, as men, we require, like, those sources... of food, talking about animal products, really can do our bodies a bit of good, you know. And you definitely become, in that what you become is you are what you eat, and that is if you're a soy boy, you know, that's when you get the low T, you get the boobs and everything else, and you get the muffin top and all that stuff, because those oils are damaging. And yes, to your point, it's hard to get away from it. You have to make a conscious effort to just stay away from it.
But nobody told me this shit. Nobody told me this.
Yeah,
my parents just grew up eating what they were told.
I mean, I'm finding out when you're finding out. So imagine how I feel.
Yeah, you really got... fucked, because you came around, and I'm not, this is not to show your age.
Well, you're cooking with Crisco, brother.
Yeah, you were in the 70s where they were just like coming out with like processed foods, like heavily like that. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where you have to say,
I started in like the 40s and stuff, but
you got to say now that I know, you know, what you were saying, like, I can't believe this. Now that I know, what am I going to do with it? And how do I deprogram myself from the other stuff? You know, sugar also is a big deal, right? Because everything that we eat pretty much breaks down into some kind of glucose. And not saying that the body doesn't need it. Absolutely, the body can't live without it. But because it is a good source of energy. Now, some people will argue that and say, you know, if you go animal based and you produce ketones, that's also a good source of energy. And then there's a debate in between that, like, how long should you stay in that ketosis phase? So that means that you got to bring back, you know, glucose into your body. And what is it that you're going to bring in? Like, getting to know all this stuff And figuring out what works for you is what you should do. But I do think, though, that there is a lot of validity in what the experimentation that I'm trying out, which is, like, you know, basically a very strong animal-based diet. I'm not going to put myself, everybody, you're a carnivore, you're a carnivore. I'm not going to put myself in a category.
I don't think you should. I don't, because that shows that it's a fad. Like, the carnivore diet,
Yeah, I mean.
You have this girl that you follow the one who is, like, loving the steak, loving the butter, eats the butter by the stick.
Yeah, so her name is Steak and Butter Girl.
I fucking hate this girl.
This Asian chick, man. So she's, like, so she literally will take, like, a block of butter and
fucking
just
obnoxious.
Eat it, right? So they do, then her and her fiance, they do, like, skits about it because people truly do make fun. And I get it because as a person that's in that community of, you know, exploring, you know, the diet and realizing and really affirming what it's done for you and supporting it. They make fun of it too because people make fun of them. Like, you know, you're going to die of a heart attack. How's your cholesterol? That's the first thing everybody always asks me. How's your cholesterol? Well, it's high. But I mean, theoretically in my lifetime, you know, I've never had bad cholesterol. So I know that it's attributed to a high fat diet. But with that being said, there's a lot of other conversations going around about how, first of all, dietary cholesterol is not really bad for you or, you know, the increase in cholesterol, especially as you get older, right? So Steak and Butter Girl normally does a lot of skits around that because people always say, you know, she's going to die of coronary artery disease and all that stuff. But check out this clip she did on butter. You're going to freak
out. This one's an extremely hard watch.
No, it's not.
I'm a high-fat carnivore sharing my journey. Yum. And here's how I respond to common concerns.
Dude, how has your heart not stopped?
Not only has my heart not stopped, but I now have more energy to work out, play with my dog, and be the most amazing partner to my fiance.
Make these fucking awful videos.
Okay, have fun with the diabetes then.
Prolonged high blood sugar levels are a key factor in the development of type 2 diabetes. Eating butter and meat dropped my fasting glucose from 84 to 66.
Well, then I bet your arteries are clogged by now.
A high-fat carnivore diet contributes to higher HDL levels, which is good cholesterol, and my HDL shot up from 73 to 98. Lowering your triglycerides is also associated with a lowered heart disease risk, and my triglycerides went down from 97 to now 15.
But...
Okay, let's just have our naysayer try a bite and see what happens.
Here it comes. He's going to become the Hulk. And he's using the X3. It's funny. But anyway.
I don't disagree with her message. And I think if it works for her, then do her.
Well, so here's the thing I resonate with. And I can, I mean, I can definitely attribute.
What is it?
Well, the fact that she's right on certain accords. Because I remember my fasting glucose before I started. And I wasn't, I mean... I'm not diabetic, but my fasting glucose was roughly about, I don't know, between 87, 96. I mean, it was, nothing was wrong with it. Now, it's in the 60s. You know what I mean?
Which is good.
a little bit below normal. And that's because sometimes I truly try to avoid the sugar. And I remember one of my guys, he's pretty smart. Personal trainer, and he's also type 1 diabetic, but he called me and he said, dude, you
is that the kind you're born with?
Yeah, he was born with it. So but he said, man, I posted something on Instagram. I was like showing off my blood sugar. It was fasting. I just woke up. I was like, dude, your blood sugar's mad low. Like, what's going on? I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, wait, what's your diet? What are you doing? So I told him. He said, yeah, get some sugar in your blood now, like some fruit, whatever it is. And he gave me a whole bunch of reasons. And I did, and it went up a little bit, but he explained, like, you need to keep it up. Like a lot of this, according to him, fad diets, you know, you don't get sugar to your body, like your heart could stop. You have a seizure, whatever it is.
Or just pass out. When I played hockey, we always used to have kids on the bench. Like, there were known kids that every time that they would be like, oh, I'm getting lightheaded. It's like, go get them the orange juice. Go get them the apple juice.
Yeah, so there's that. You know, the funny thing is I don't feel any of that at all. Doesn't bother me one bit. So I do incorporate, and this is where, like, we were talking about, I don't want to be labeled, but I do incorporate some fruit or a form of carb into my diet in a form of like honey or something like that.
I think that's good though, that you're honestly listening to your body and you're not like just following a trend, because you're doing what works for you.
Listen, I need to, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is this, and you gotta understand how your body works at times to get it. But, you know, there are days, man, where, like, for example, this month, they're doing deadlifts at the gym. So I'm part of that whole group that has to do it. Anybody who goes to the gym has to do their deadlift stuff, you know, every time that they're there. So days like that, man, where I'm lifting three, you know, deadlifting three and change, whatever it is, man, I need every bit of energy I can get. So I'll sugar it up going into that. But my body is disposing of that stuff quickly through my muscles, right? So I'm actually, you know, it's like you're incinerating the stuff versus taking in all the sugar, sitting on your ass, not doing anything. That's a whole different story, right? So that's how I, you know, that's how I operate within those lines. I am very meat heavy. You know, like I said, I'm doing the liver now, the raw liver. I was doing the supplements, now I'm doing the raw liver. I don't know how long that's going to last. I mean, you know, you got to order the shit. And
you know that does not taste good.
What?
Raw liver.
You put some salt on it, it tastes like oysters.
Oh, I hate oysters.
Well, then.
I remember last time I tried to do an oyster shooter in Florida, I like slurped it down. I'm like, oh, it's coming back up.
Yeah.
It's just straight salt.
It's not that bad, man. Like, I put salt on it.
You're from the islands, though, so you kind of grew up eating stuff like that.
Stop hating on me, man. Like, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is I'd rather get, like, the one thing I've heard from a white coat one time is it's best to get your nutrients from food. The problem is the food that you're eating, they're not getting the nutrients from the soil, but, you know, that's a whole nother topic, and you got to be careful of who you buy from, you know. So definitely trying to get it from a reliable source would definitely be suggested. So, but I think you would be surprised on how you feel after, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I can honestly tell my body responds to me when I eat certain foods. Like, if I have Chick-fil-A, it's over, bro. I'm done. I'm cooked after that. Absolutely cooked. And I think, like, I started to pay attention a couple years ago when I started hanging around all you guys. And at first I just kind of brushed it off. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to eat my fries and my chicken and fried foods and I'll be fine. Until I started getting sick. I got COVID like 4 or 5 times. I got the flu. I just kept getting all these like illnesses. And I'm like, dude, this has to stop. You know, it's one of those things, you don't care about it until it comes to your front door. And it was knocking on my front door.
Yeah. I think you realize how important it is, you know, getting yourself right. And on top of that, half of this stuff, man, the amount of stuff that it does for you to ward off all that extra shit, it's amazing. I think when we go in the opposite direction, the pea protein and the safflower oil or whatever, I mean, those are things that you use, man, to lubricate your engine. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you use that to, if you got a squeaky door, yeah, I got some safflower oil in the garage. Let me go put it in the joints of the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That stuff should not be in your body, man. And I think the more, it's like put up or shut up, man. Everybody talks about, like, you know, need the natural food, man. It needs to be organic. Well, how more organic is it than coming right out of the cow after it has been slaughtered, right? That didn't sound right. I'm just saying.
It's the damn truth.
No, I'm very, very serious.
I know what you're saying, but.
You know, so it's that's where I'm at with it. I feel like it has given me, shit, I can show you, look at the difference. Look at the difference.
So the picture on the left is day one.
Day one is 75 hard. So what I'm saying is incorporating, getting a little bit harder on my my meat intake, coupled with really going in and exercising and listening to my body. I gave it some slight glucose when it needed it. And look at the difference.
This is, you look like you're about to kill somebody in that first picture.
You know what I'm saying?
That's when you were consuming soy and you were upset.
Soy boy.
And then, yeah, I mean,
on I put on mass.
Yeah, you put on mass. Like,
you know what I mean?
You got a six pack and you get.
So it's, it just goes to show you, it's one of those things where it's like, and I did some blood work throughout, not throughout, during the process, and that came back great. Zero oxidative stress found, no kind of toxins. I coupled also my diet, exercise. I did things like, which is a little bit harder for people to do, but you can definitely adapt by doing similar things like, you know, I got in the hot, so you can find a sauna. I'm pretty sure you can get a gym membership or something like that. Do it there. Get in a cold tub. That would help a lot. You know what I'm saying? The cold tub stuff definitely helps, or the cold shower stuff definitely helps with growth, muscle growth, and you do it before you work out. So you get your body to release all these hormones by getting in the cold, that fight or flight, you know, ready to go. You jump on a bar, man, you feel like you're ready to move a truck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I mean, nothing can. And I was talking to John when I picked him up from the airport. Our friend John came into town from Texas. And the first thing that we talked about was the cold plunge. And he's like, I've actually really looked into studies, and he's read a bunch of them, and he told me that it's honestly more for the mental benefit. Like, you get some physical benefit, but it really, really is like training your mind. And like, once you train your mind, the body will follow.
That's 100%. You know what I mean? 100%. So, you know, you couple all of those things, you know, and you, I mean, it's a win. But, I mean, that's, you know, you got to choose. Like, I have a friend that I'm going to be talking to. Actually, we're doing a show. My buddy Mike Bellini. We're going to be doing a double podcast coming up tomorrow, where I'm going to be on his and he's going to be on mine at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Brendan's going to be in here going like, what up?
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Tell me about Mike Bellini. Who is this fellow?
Oh, my fault. He also did 75 Hard with us. So, but he is a vegan, vegetarian, blah, blah, blah. For his reasons, you know what I mean? And it works for him. So whatever works for you is what I'm trying to say. Like, I've given you the reasons why. A lot of people always ask me, like, same things. Like, well, the common questions, like, is your cholesterol high? Doesn't it make you constipated? How's your stomach process all that stuff? You know, but, I mean, it works for me. Like, I found that thing that kind of gets me, like, to a certain point. I got mad energy. I'm ready to go all the time. I sleep good. I feel great. Like, shit, like, that's a win.
I mean, yeah, don't let anybody tell you shit if that's working for you. I'm trying to figure out what works for me still. I know my biggest thing is sleep and getting in a regular. And that's a big thing with people my age is we don't sleep because we're still in that process. A lot of us are still in college, coming out of college, and you don't go to bed. You're studying. You're out partying.
If you want to know, I mean, that is one of the main things that will affect.
But coupled with bad diet, too.
I mean, and you couple that inside of that. That's one of the things. You
get a whole fucking entendre.
As a male, that will just jack you up. Like, your testosterone is probably, like, in the tank from doing all this stuff where, you know, late nights, which that alone, sleep alone could solve 90% of your problems. So 8 hours of sleep alone, or the proper amount. I'm not saying everybody needs eight. Some people may need nine. Some people may only need seven. But getting the proper amount of sleep every night at the same time in the dark is what you need.
If I get 7.5, though, if I sleep in, like, there'll be days where I slept in, like, 12 hours before, right? And I wake up and I'm like, bro, I feel like shit. And if I sleep, like, 6 hours some days, I'll shoot out of bed, like, this is great, and then I'm good, and then I crash around, like, 3 o'clock and take my little daily nap.
Maybe you might need, I mean, there's a lot of people that, one thing that I do, and I don't know if a lot of people can do this, or, you can if you want to, but I go to the lab and just get blood work done. If there's a problem, you know, I mean.
And I've been saying I need to do that, too.
You just go to the lab and say, like, listen, I just want a panel done. I want a metabolic and a hormonal panel done. If you want to really spend some bread, you can get like a plasma panel done, a nutritional plasma panel where they pretty much break down the, you know, vitamin A, B12, vitamin E, how much folic acid, do you need alpha lipoic acid, any toxicity, like it breaks all that down if you want to know that. Like, you can get as granular as you want.
Yeah, it's just I don't think that's a bad waste. I mean, not a waste of money, but I think that's an investment into your health. If you're going to spend a shit ton of money on food all the time, might as well kind of spend the money on a blood test to you see know, what that food does for you.
It's like, it's funny, man. Like a lot of my friends will be like, hey man, you're doing all that meat stuff, man. Like what's the deal? I can't do that. I'm a vegan. And I'd be like, listen, dude, you got tits. You know, no, seriously, man. So it's one of those things where it's hard for me to listen to somebody that I don't want to look like, you know what I'm saying? Or feel like, or experience this life. Like I want to experience it my way first and foremost, but if you're trying to mimic after somebody, as we all are as humans, because we, you know, that's how we learn. But I'm not going to pick somebody that doesn't look like me and tells me what is good and what is not good. And most of these dudes, minus the Liver King, most of these guys are pretty legit, man, and they're hard workers. And they show that if you put in the work, you pay attention to the diet, and then you couple that with other things, like in the 75 hard situation where it's more so a discipline thing than it is a physical challenge thing, you kind of come out winning, you know?
I have a question. I'm going to come straight out of left field with this one.
Yeah, okay.
How do you feel that, you know, we talked about meat and we talked about vegan, but now I want to talk about caffeine. How do you feel about caffeine and what role does it play in this 75 hard and this meat thing that you're doing? Because I just watched you make a beautiful...
Well, it wasn't for me.
But you did drink coffee today, yes?
Yeah, I drank about 3 cups. Probably shouldn't have.
3 cups of coffee.
Yeah, I'm good.
And how do you feel that you know, kind of helps you, or does it not help you?
Yeah, it's funny. I did this test on myself. It was a genetic test in which it tested you for things like such as caffeine that would affect you, right? Like your genotype or your genome type, like, is more affected by caffeine, you know, type of test. They did a bunch of
where
variables.
Do you do this at?
A whole bunch of them do it. Like 23andMe will do it. Genotype is the name of the one that I think I used. There's a whole bunch of
them. What do you have to send them? Just your spit or what?
They'll send you a kit, and you'll do what you need to do with the kit. And
piss in this cup.
Whatever it is that they ask for. It kind of comes back with that stuff. And some of the stuff, a lot of stuff is spot on. And I know that because, not to stray away from what we were talking about, but there was a point where I got that DNA test done, and then I got a series of like plasma nutritional tests done, two separate companies, and the nutritional tests will come back and say, like, no bullshit, like, you're deficient in B12. Then the DNA test comes back and says your genome type is that of one that will be, you know, doesn't absorb B12 as well. Oh shit, right? So it's all about piecing the puzzle together. You know, they also said that, yes, the DNA test said that my body type or person or human or whatever prefers a diet high in saturated fat.
Okay, is that
it said that?
Is that the good kind of fat or the bad kind of fat?
I mean, I guess it's a good kind of fat. I wouldn't see the DNA company telling you to eat bad shit, right? Or it might just be telling the truth.
Why would they do that? I'm like, why would 23andMe do that?
Here we go with the conspiracy theories.
It's not a conspiracy.
No, what I'm saying is, I think it's interesting because when you have a scenario where you got two different, you know, independent sources that come back and kind of draw you a very identical conclusion, you know what I mean? You got to kind of say, oh, okay, I should pay attention to that, and I should try to sway in that direction, which I have, and I've noticed a difference, right? So it's not just that I didn't just refer to one source. The fact that both sources have it, actually, it's been multiple sources that have done that, you know, in the past, as far as my stuff is concerned, and me doing like my own diligence on my health, you know, drawing blood and what have you. But anyway, so I just think that, it is what it is.
No, does caffeine, to my question, does caffeine help you? Does it hinder you? Do you want to get off of it? Do you want to keep consuming? So
it doesn't. Like, when I did the test actually said that it is one of those things that doesn't affect me. So
I'm just asking how you feel personally.
No, it doesn't.
Fuck the science.
Doesn't affect me. Like, I could take caffeine. I could drink caffeine 6 o'clock at night, and I'll be in bed by 9.
Really?
Have a good one. Best of luck.
He's got the highest tolerance in the world.
I don't know if it's caffeine tolerance or what have you, but it just has never affected me like that. And the reason why I drink it, I'm not saying I had 3 cups because, I wanted to have. I mean, because I needed it because I needed to sleep and wake up and all that stuff. I had 3 cups because I like drinking coffee.
I love coffee, but I've been having an issue recently where I drink a cup of coffee and I get really, really like shaken up. It feels like I'm drinking like 6 cups of coffee because I'm very sensitive to caffeine. Per source, my mom, I called her and I told her this. I'm like, I got to stop drinking coffee because I just feel like I'm wired and then I crash and my stomach's fucked up. And she's like, oh, sweetie, don't you know that, you know, redheads are more sensitive to like drugs?
You're not a redhead, dude.
Dude, my beard comes in. It comes in red.
It's not red.
So I'm like, when the fuck was anybody going to tell me this? Like, when I was smoking weed in high school and I'd have panic attacks. This is my routine in high school, and this might be why I'm kind of fucked up to where I'm at now. I would smoke some weed, and then I would go to Tim Hortons, and I'd get myself an ice cap, which is just loaded with caffeine, and I'd instantly have a panic attack, and I'd do that about 4 times a week, and I didn't even realize that I was doing it.
It's revving you up.
Revving me up, dude, but just to my point that redheads are more sensitive to drugs, and I looked it up, and it's like, oh, yeah, like, redheads, like, either need more medication or they need less medication. Like, you just don't know. It's a crapshoot. I know I'm not redhead, but I have undertones of being a redhead, and my beard does come in red, and I am Irish, so, I am going to go ahead and claim it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a problem with Gen Z. Now he's a ginger. That's how he's identifying. A ginger.
I'm a daywalker.
He's a daywalker. So, you know, caffeine, it depends. It could be, I think, something that works to your advantage when it comes to workouts.
Before a workout, you know, like a lot of people take pre and that shit does jack you up.
You know, coffee as a whole has been shown to be good for you anyway. So I don't think if you moderate it, it has much effect. Some people it might. Some people, you know, just don't do well on it. So they just, for the taste of coffee, they'll do decaf, which you could do too as well. I just think it's just not as good.
You're right about that.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So, you know, you got to just basically just experiment and try different things, you know, and kind of see how the body responds and react accordingly to it. So hence my journey with raw meat and all that stuff has shown me that maybe I was missing out on something all this time, trying to do all this vegan shit, all this, you know, fruit and sugar shit, and it's just really, really bad. Dr. Sean Baker, speaking of sugar, one of the other guys that I like quite a bit, he talks about, like, even trying to get into the meat or this carnivore-type diet. He's a true carnivore. Like, the man eats no carbs whatsoever. He talks about it, too. The reason he doesn't eat any carbs is because his joints get super inflammatory when he eats them. But if you're making a transition or thinking about it, it's going to be hard for you. You're going to experience things like the carnivore flu, and that is a thing. It's not like a real flu, but, you know, the meat sweats. It's going to be side effects of things, you know, that you haven't really experienced before, you know, just gut-wise and so on and so forth, because your body's just getting used to, you know, just a different way of producing fuel, right? But here's what he had to say about those cravings, those sugar cravings. So,
somebody asked me how I deal with or what to do if they have sugar cravings. Well, one, assume they're going to occur particularly early on with say, a carnivore diet. Number one, you have to have a plan in place. We know that cravings are time limited. They're going to last for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. It's often based upon surges in certain hormones, things like ghrelin. So if we know they're going to only last for 30, 40 minutes, that's all we got to do. Figure out what to do for 30 or 45 minutes. Go for a walk, do some exercise, distract yourself, read a book, watch a show, something to take your mind off of that. The other thing is replace it with something more appropriate. You know, have some steak cooked up, have some bacon, have something, some boiled eggs or something like that to give you something to do. Expand your stomach with volume, drink a whole bunch of water. You can make, I'll often have made homemade jello out of just plain gelatin with a little bit of electrolyte flavored powder in there with no sugar. Those are some of the things you can do, but you have to have a plan in place.
And that's what I say. You know, if you're going to make a switch to whatever it is that works for your body, just make sure you have a plan in place so you don't fall off. It's hard. It's hard to not fall off.
That's anybody with an addiction of any type. It's like you'll go right back to what you were doing if you don't have something to take its place.
100%. Sure. So it's for like sure. You said, you know, have a plan, like have bacon out. I started buying like beef jerky stuff. It was funny the other night, my wife.
Like you got some, Biltong yesterday. I've never had Biltong before.
It's like Biltong.
Biltong.
Biltong. South African beef jerky. It's good stuff.
Yeah, check that out if you've never had it. It's very good.
So it's just cured meat. I mean, it's simple. It's nothing crazy. It's just the way that they season it at times. It could be very flavorful, but still very, very good for you. Very high in fat. And I eat that stuff like it's going out of style. So I was in bed the other night, and I hadn't eaten all day. And I wasn't planning on, like, fasting or anything like that. And I was like, I got to get something in my stomach for several reasons. One, I was sitting there, and my wife was watching something on TV, and there was a pause, and then you just heard my stomach go, oh. She was like, holy shit, what's wrong? So I got some Biltong, and I'm sitting in bed, and she started laughing at me. She goes, most people, if they snack in bed, it'll be popcorn or chips. He goes, you got the meat sweats. You're eating meat in bed. It was great. So, you know, having a plan in place so you cannot necessarily fall off of the diet while giving your body what it requires, which is, I mean, you know, healthy shit, you know, long story. But I would say definitely think about how you're going to attack that, because it does become a little bit monotonous when you're just eating one thing every day, trying to get creative without swaying too far to the left or too far to the right. Once again, you know, you can incorporate fruit to start. I wouldn't necessarily go cold turkey. And definitely I wouldn't go down the rabbit hole of like right now trying like, oh, I'm going to do raw liver, because that will just turn you like in the other direction. Be like, I'm never going down that path again. But it's worth it, though. I think it's seriously worth exploring. I think this is how, as Paul Salvadino says, this is how human beings were made to thrive. Personally, it's just an opinion. If I had my buddy on, Mike Bellini, he'd say the complete opposite, I'm sure, for reasons that work for him. And that's okay too as well. Just as long as you do shit that works for you. That's what has worked for me with that photo I showed you, the before and after. How great that photo was. Look at that.
We brought it back for the one time.
I'm good, man.
I'm curious to see.
I worked my ass off for that, brother. Worked my ass off for that. Seriously, I did.
I know you did, Mike, and that's why I brought it back. You know, we had to, and we'll bring it back one more time.
There it is. Boom. There it is.
I'm curious to see in 1,000 years, you know, how humans evolve. Because, you know, we really use our appendix anymore to process like raw vegetables and stuff like that, or whatever the fuck we use that thing for anyways.
It's useless. I'm taking that back. I still have mine. I want to keep it.
With all these chemicals in our food, how our bodies will evolve to kind of, you know, go around that.
You know, that's always a concern. We talk about toxic soup that we live in, and this toxic soup between the stuff that's in the soil, the stuff that they're injecting into the animals, livestock, you know, re-engineering, you know, seeds and, you know, all this MSG stuff. It's hard to get around that. And the best I can say, I mean, as we evolve and as we hope to evolve into a healthier society, living longer, I mean, we are living longer for sure. And we should, because we live in this advanced world right now. For now, it might be taken away from us. And it might be under one rule. I'm not going to go there. But anyway.
The water's turning the frogs gay.
It is. I say research where you get your food from, man.
Well,
that's what I say you should do.
We're fucked.
Huh?
We're fucked.
You think so?
I know so. But I mean, there's small steps you can take. But
here's another thing that I wrote this down. I was going to read it today because I thought it was a really cool thing I saw in this article, this portion of this article. And it said, food choices are influenced by our peers. It's because it may help us define who we are in this society, right? So think about that. Like,
I'm thinking about it.
If you're around your friends and everybody's drinking, just to feel like you're social and being part of the group, you're going to drink too, right? Or if everybody's having like chocolate pie at the whatever, you're going to have it too. And then we're going to go down the street and we're going to have Waffle House. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know what I'm saying? Well, you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you have to make that decision on how much you want to fit in. And because fitting in is just that. In this case, I would say it's not fitting in because most of the people today can't fit into most of their clothes because they've been following their peers and doing what their peers are doing as far as food is concerned. But you really need to consider that, finding what works for you, sticking with what works for you, not falling into the peer pressure of, you know, that type of bullshit. But, you know, there's, we're not stock cars.
Step. There's an actionable step for people to take.
What's that? What I just did? What I just talked about? Yeah, of course.
I said we're fucked, and then you go, no. There's an actionable step you can take.
I mean, so you put actions into place, right? But you got to really want to do it. Some people just don't want to do it. They say they want to do it, and then they remain.
Dude, I don't want to do half the shit that you make. I don't want to do 95% of the shit that you have me doing, Mike. I'm going to be real with you. But I do it because I know that
it'll make you don't want to do it. And that's when you need to do it the most.
Yes, yes. But I'm just saying, like, I don't want to do that shit, man. I don't want to eat raw liver. I don't want to hike up a fucking mountain with a weight vest on. But I know after I'm done and I take it off, I'm like, okay, this was for a purpose and it was worth it.
Think about it like this, man. You have a lot of kids your age that, like, you want to go down the list and say shit that you've done and shit that you did that was badass or that you experienced or knowledge that you've learned. Things that you have figured out how to take care of yourself. And, you know, you're going to step back and look at your friends. And listen, I look at people from high school, not all of them, because some of them still have kept themselves in really good shape. Right. And you could tell those they were, you know, they take care of themselves. They eat right. So on and so forth. But there are some of them, man, that you could tell that they just don't give a shit. And it shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a majority of people now, you know, so you just got to figure out, you know, do you want to follow those folks or you want to go down the path of doing the other shit? And you're saying you don't want to do stuff, right? So don't do it. See what happens. See how that works out for you.
I already didn't do it and I saw how it worked out for me. So I'm going to try something different.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do some hard shit.
Like what?
Well, I'm training for this half marathon. I'm about to go to the Nike Run Club tonight and, you know, stay consistent with my running. I don't want to fucking run a half marathon. Who wants to sit there and run like 13 miles? That shit sounds stupid.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because you're on the other side of it now, and you've seen the end result.
What, are you scared?
No. I'm not scared at all. I'm just like, this shit's going to suck, bro. By mile number six, I'm going to be fucking sore. You don't know that. I do know that.
Listen, first of all, you're running like one day a week, which is horrible. You need to be running more than that.
Well, I've been lifting, so I have been kind of training differently.
I'll tell you, now you need to increase your mileage. And the more you increase your mileage, the more efficient your body's going to be, the more muscle memory you're going to pick up, and it's not going to be as bad. I'm not saying that it's not going to suck. I mean, running in this city with all the rolling hills.
You got the shirt, Mike. You didn't wear your shirt today, but Mike's got a shirt that says running sucks.
I mean, it does, but it's great, though. Like the high.
I'm going to wear that shirt.
The high after is awesome.
Yep.
You know, so you just got to embrace the suck. I now know what that means, and I can't explain it to you till you do it. And you've promised us over the past 2 years that you're going to run a half marathon, and you never did. So now it's time to put the rubber to the road. And that is it. But no, folks, seriously, you got to think about it. Think about what you're eating. Is the moral of this story. I was really interested in his questions to me today, based off of my weekend and my exploratory entrance into the raw world, which is still to be determined. I mean, I dug it. I'm probably going to continue it for a while and see what it does for me. And if it's good, I'll continue. If it's not, you just drop it. That's what it is. And that's what you do. You just can't get stuck in the same rut because we all want to get better, right?
1% every day at least.
So here's what you do. Follow us on social at Ruck Talk. Let's start conversations. Next time we see you, we're going to do phone a friend. That's going to be interesting. I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but it's going to be fun. He's going to phone a friend. I'm going to phone a friend. And it's going to be gnarly. So I hope you get ready for it. And until then, tell everybody about the show. Let's get into the ruck. Let's get into the cold. Let's get into the heat. Let's get unapologetic and motivational and inspirational. We'll talk to you later.
Let's get it.
See ya. Bye.
Welcome to the show. Best round. It just depends if I'm in your town. Yeah.